This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
We want to look at Daniel chapter 1 today. So if you have a device or even better, a Bible with you, would you like to find Daniel chapter 1? And it's sort of loosely titled, Dare to be a Daniel. It's sort of about how to flourish as a student in Leeds, or how to flourish when you find yourself in a foreign land. Daniel managed to do this, and he flourished. And so what can we learn from him? If you're not sure where Daniel is, it's in the Old Testament. Look it up in the index, is the easiest way. If you go to the middle and turn right past Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you'll get to Daniel. A strange, strange book, but very powerful stuff in there. And this is an example of from one particular hero of the Jewish faith. Now, many years ago, in another century, in fact, and on another planet, it seems like, almost, a young man escaped from Leeds and skedaddled off to Durham without so much as looking over his shoulder. And he moved from an extended group of friends, big church group, big school group, and a large active family, to a city where he knew nobody, and where he was meant to do stuff about which he had little idea, and where he was carrying responsibilities for a living which he was only partially prepared for. Yeah, that was me. And some of you can identify with that sort of transition in your life. One of the transitions, one of the things I enjoyed anyway, was I realized I could wear different clothes. So I just want you to know that back in a long time ago, I had a natty sort of selection of cheesecloth shirts. Do you remember those? And matching neck scarf tie things. And a black waistcoat. That was my uniform. Very, very at the front end of fashion was I. And I was wearing Converse basketball boots. Now that really was way ahead of the crowd. A long, long time ago. And when I was preparing for this talk, I asked a lot of people who had been students, what did they, looking back at their, 17, 18-year-old self, what sort of advice would they give them? And I'll intersperse what I'm going to say with the advice that they were given. And the main one, I think, was phone your mum from time to time. That was the main one. So if you haven't done that recently, please do that. Now, moving from home to university, especially in a big city, is a big, big transition. It's as is a change of career, or moving house, or going from being single to married, or from no children to children. There are lots of big changes that people have experienced, and sometimes it's like going into a foreign land. And indeed, for some students, it is actually going to a foreign land. Do you feel like that sometimes, that you're in a foreign land, untethered, not sure what to do or how to make good decisions? And this story of Daniel provides us with a really good model for how to flourish in a foreign land, how to deal with those changes. Daniel does really well at this and is going strong decades later. What can we learn from him? So in the story of Daniel, which we'll read in a minute, we have people being forcibly moved. I think most of you, those of your students, chose to do this. But they were forcibly moved from one country, one culture, one community into another. And that's very much like what happens to students. Daniel, the undergraduate at the University of Babylon, studying a PPE course with a graduation opportunity in the civil service. Many of you are in that type of place. How are you doing? Are you flourishing? So as I read this, see if you can spot the specific changes or transitions Daniel has to deal with, and then we'll look at how he did it. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. And these he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, which is not too far from present-day Baghdad. So from Jerusalem to Baghdad, all the way through Lebanon, Syria, Iraq. And he put them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. That's exactly the sort of students we have here today. Handsome, beautiful, showing aptitudes for every kind of learning. The king assigned that he was to teach them language and literature of the Babylonians. And the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. And they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to graduate into the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official said to Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink." The word for vegetables probably means grain or seed. So it wasn't like a rich vegetable thing that you might get today in a good veggie restaurant. It was seeds and grains. Fairly frugal diet. And then he said, "Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." Diplomatically brilliant. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice of food and wine, the choice food and wine, and they were to drink, and gave them vegetables, seeds, grains instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kind. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And then Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus, which would have been several decades later. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Did you identify some of the transitions Daniel and his friends went through? Transition number one, leaving home. Friends, family, familiar surroundings. Has anyone been in that situation, that homesickness that you felt when you've left home? Transition number one. Transition number two, they arrived somewhere new. They relocated, so they were meeting new people, entering a new community, figuring out lots of new relationships. Transition number three, they were taught a new language, a new language. Now, foreign students coming here literally have to learn a new language, but we all have to learn a new language of sorts when we move like this. Students have to learn the language of independence, how to handle money and to look after themselves. Transition number four, in verses 6 and 7, they were given new names, new identities. The ones that reflected the language and the culture of the time. Now, sometimes we change our names like that, but figuring out who we are in our culture is the big deal. Who am I when I don't have my usual family and friends and lifestyle to live amongst, to bounce off in the way that I always have? Who am I? Same applies if you have a big job move or if you get married. Who am I now? I went from being a missionary kid and a sort of pastor's kid, That was my identity here. When I went to Durham, I was the lad about town. I changed my identity. Maybe you go from I'm single, and then all of a sudden I meet somebody, I'm now a couple, and people always talk to you about you and the name of the other person. Maybe you'd been an athlete before, and now you're an academic. Or maybe you never used to think about what you ate, you just ate what your parents gave you, and now you're an avowed vegan. That's my identity. Maybe before you were shy and retiring, and now you're the party girl. Primarily, you go from being a what the HMRC define as a dependent relative to being independent. Different identity. And I know that there are other huge challenges to knowing your identity, which this culture persistently questions, things like gender and sexuality and sanctity of life issues. We will talk about those, particularly next year. We've got some stuff lined up on that. We haven't got time to do that now. And within the family of Leeds Vineyard, I expect there to be a variety of views, and this is a safe place to share and to learn without condemnation, but with grace and with a welcome. So that's number four. Transition number five, look at verse 8. They are offered a new diet, new things to eat and drink and maybe smoke are on the menu. An increased availability of things which may do more harm than good and about which there may be a significant amount of peer pressure. That was certainly my experience when it came to alcohol, because I came from a teetotal background and I landed in a drinking college. And I spent my first term discovering that cheap beer wasn't a passport to academic excellence. I'd still remember that meeting with my tutor at the end of that first term. Strangely, or maybe miraculously, maybe it was just God's hand on my life, I was never tempted by drugs. We had a lot of drugs around, but they just seemed to sort of miss me in the way, although I was hanging out with a lot of people who took drugs. And these days, I can get high just walking from Meanwood up to the church building. When the going got tough, those were the transitions he dealt with: leaving, arriving, a new language, a new identity, new diet. How did he flourish as a student at the University of Babylon? And will you dare to be a Daniel, which is the title of an old song, which some of you have now got in your head and can't get rid of if you're of my age? So, what are the things? There are four things, I think, that you can extract from the book of Daniel, and particularly the first half of it, which tells us about how Daniel flourished in a different land, as a foreigner in a foreign land. The first thing, really important, is that he knew that he was loved. If you read through to chapter 9, you'll find an angel comes to tell him that from God. Comes to tell him and said, God loves you very much. Or another way of translating it is, you are beloved. That's your identity. Beloved of God. And you can tell that because despite all the distractions and stuff that goes on in the life of Daniel as you read through the book, he attended to his relationship with God because he knew he was loved. And because of that, he could take risks. And he could trust God with his life because his identity started with God's love for him. And when the going got tough and he was under pressure, he reverts into that place, the place of prayer and time with God. And he invests in his relationship with God and he figures out what to do. He knows what to do. One of the pieces of advice that people offered when I asked was, if you want to flourish, place everything in God's hands, which is what Daniel does. Pray about everything, the people around you, your lectures and studies, who's in your hall or your house or your exams, and the strange things people will try and convince you to believe. Good advice. But listen up. God will look after you, not because you pray hard and you're really nice and you share your milk with your flatmate. That's not why God hears you. God hears you and answers your prayer because he loves you. We did that in communion, didn't we? Is that he loves us so much that he gave Jesus his son to die for us. So his love for us is unconditional. It's there. However well we pray, however well we live, that truth never changes. Another piece of advice that was offered: never forget God's immense grace and forgiveness and love in difficult times, particularly when you get things wrong. Remember his grace and his love. Daniel knew he was loved. This was his identity. Do you realize just how much you are loved? The second thing Daniel worked at, which helped him flourish, was relationships. And we get a glimpse of that here. This is the way he negotiated with his tutor and the way he gathered around him friends from a similar background, similar belief and faith, the way he stuck himself into his home community. He's torn from his Jerusalem home, but he stays true to his spiritual heritage. Another piece of advice that's offered by someone is to get stuck into a local church where you are known and can know others. Because church community is the key. That's the equivalent for Daniel. It was having that group of friends around him and being in that community whilst a long way from home was one of the key factors in his flourishing. There are so many bad influences out there. Influence is the thing, isn't it? And there are many around you online and in real life with you. But when your relationships are good, you can be different. Okay? So I'm not talking about you being influenced. I'm talking about you being an influencer in the foreign land, wherever you are. Because when you know that your feet are on solid ground, that God loves you, that you have a church family behind you, you can be a great, wholesome influence. That's what Daniel was. He wasn't passive, he was active. He took all the good things that he'd invested in relationships and knowing God loved him, and he became a change agent in his society, in his group. You can do that too. So, for example, students, the Christians on campus must be the ones who have the best parties. You must have the best parties. You must have the most fun. You must be the ones who are able to navigate difficulties and stresses, which we will have, but to navigate that with the most grace and hope. The students at Leeds University who are Christians need to be the ones who are trusted and are the ones that people want to hang out with. They are great at relationships. So he knew that God loved him. He was good at relationships. And then very quickly, he was good at what he did. He learned the new language. He qualified in the studies. Another advice was, don't settle for second best. Be the best you can. Practical advice, review each semester's work as you go along. Much the best way to prepare for exams, apparently. I wish I'd known that. And another piece of advice is to have a rest day, a Sabbath day away from your work. Early on, I remember going there and suddenly landing in Durham and thinking, this is not going to be a walk in the park. This is going to be hard. And so early on, I decided I would never work on a Sunday. I needed that Sabbath every week so I could work the rest of the week and then recharge on the seventh day. Daniel's like that. And he goes on to work at a high level for the various scary rulers of Babylon. He's helped by God, and he maintains a certain sort of dignified distance from the bad influences around him and the people of a different worldview, but he delivers results and he flourishes in his work. Finally, I know I'm running over time. Bear with me, I'm nearly done. The fourth thing that Daniel's good at is what I like to call making premeditated, principled decisions. PPDs for short. We're all faced with decisions all the time. And most of the time we make them quickly and easily. It's not, you know, is it Greg's or KFC? Not too difficult. But when you have left home, and you arrive somewhere new, and they're having to figure out a new way of living, making good decisions can be really hard. Daniel is faced with some difficult decisions and choices, but he knew where he stood before he was put on the spot. So he was okay with a name change, but not with the diet. He was okay with learning the new language, but he was not going to bow down and worship another god. Chapter 3. Why he made those choices is not the issue here. It's the fact that he knew where he stood. How are you going to make your decisions? Are you going to make them under the time and peer pressure that you get yourself into, or are you going to make a premeditated, principled decision? Because if you wait until you're in the moment, you may find you'll be bounced into something that doesn't really match up with your values and who you are. You may regret it. You may do something you don't want to do. Another key piece of advice that somebody offered was, it's okay to say no. Let me just dwell on this for a moment. There are some things about which you need to figure out your values and your beliefs in advance. This is my advice as well. Whilst you have space and time to think and pray about it, to talk with people who you trust, one is alcohol and drugs. Where's your boundary? When everyone is pushing you, go on, it'll be great. At what do you know where you stand? Do you know when you're going to say yes and when you're going to say no? Sex. When you're physically aroused, it's very difficult to make a calm, collected decision. You know what I mean. Decide beforehand. You won't make a good decision in the moment. Time. Plan your work. Plan your time. Knowing you've got a seventh day, you're not going to work. So use a 6 day, whatever you decide to do. So when you have a deadline to hit, you don't find yourself having to work on the Sunday, say, in order to hit it. Money. I doubt very many of you were carefully trained to budget by your parents. Some of you will have been. It's usually about 1 in 5. Most of you have no idea. I had no idea. I got myself into such a pickle, it took me a decade to get out of it. Sort out your budget before you start spending your money. If you don't know how to do that, find somebody in your growth group or somebody around you who looks as though they've got it. So they'll tell you. You say to them, please help me budget. We've got some people here who have been trained in that as well. If you can sort it out before you start spending, then you won't overspend and end up further in debt. Another area might be social media. Think about that whole realm. Pray over your communications, your connections. How will you react when you read bad stuff? How will you work out not being controlled by an echo chamber? How will you choose what to believe, and how will you judge whether it's true? Like Daniel, if you want to flourish, decide on your values, set down your principles. Decide on your boundaries, when and where you will say yes and no. So Daniel was already sorted. I'm loved by God. I don't mind what they call me. I don't mind what identity they give me. I don't mind what language they make me speak. But I'm not going to eat that rich food, and I'm not going to worship their gods. Bang. Decision made. Before he got there, I think he knew what was coming. He had made his premeditated, principled decision. So when the time of testing came, he didn't have to try and figure out what he believed, whilst everyone was watching him and the pressure was on. Okay, let me conclude. Will you dare to be a Daniel? As you find yourself in a different world, having to think about new things and make tricky decisions, I want you to know that you too can live a flourishing life without compromise, and which leads and influences others towards a better story. Daniel flourished because his identity was wrapped up in being loved by God, and he went to God in prayer and trusted him. Daniel flourished because he attended to making healthy relationships and influencing the people around him for good. Daniel flourished because he's inspired by God in his work and he works diligently. And Daniel flourished because he makes premeditated, principled decisions. So if you'll dare to be a Daniel, knowing that you're loved by Almighty God, inviting the Holy Spirit into every moment of your life, if you'll dare to be Daniel and connect with your church and nurture good relationships so that you become a great influencer for the kingdom, if you'll dare to be like Daniel and work diligently and take your Sabbath day, if you'll dare to be like Daniel and make premeditated, principled decisions, then you will flourish as a student in Leeds. Oh, we're somewhat over time. I do want to pray, though. Let me pray, and then we'll say goodbye to those of you online, and I want to just do some ministry stuff. I don't know whether Alison, do you want to join me or not? She does. Do come. Why don't we pray? Lord, I just want to pray for all the people who are either watching online or are here in this place who know that they're in a foreign land or feel like they're in a foreign land. And I ask you to reveal your love for them. Give them that sense of understanding that they are standing on solid ground with you. If this is you, just receive his love for you. Whatever you've done or whatever you've, your track record, receive his love for you. Lord, I pray that you will bless these people with great relationships and community. Make them great influencers. I pray that you'll bless them with the ability to work and achieve the best they possibly can, not second best. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to make great premeditated principle decisions.